to thank those who were filling in and pinch hitting for me while I was gone the last couple of weeks. My wife and I were able to get away for a couple of weeks and went south. It was a lot hotter down there than here. You might long for that, but let me just say this. You need to pray for those people because we've heard some of the flooding that's occurring in some places, but there are places that are really nearing drought conditions. There are places where we were, they hadn't had a lot of rain. There's a lot of cropland that is in dire need of rain. And so we need to make this a matter of prayer. I mean, we're talking about thousands and thousands of acres of farmland and parts of the country here that unless God sends the rain, it's going to be very, very troublesome. And it's going to be a dire situation. So, but it's good to be back. Heard that good reports on the services, and trust your hearts were blessed and inspired with those who ministered the word. Long time ago, back in the 5th century BC, there was a Greek playwright named Sophocles. Some of you students are probably remembering some of those English classes. Maybe you read one of his plays. He wrote quite a few, over 100. There's only a handful of those, though, that remain today. Some of the others, we just have fragments of them. He was a Greek playwright. He was born into a wealthy family. And he's known for some of his plays. We refer to them as tragedies. There were several that were well known, and he's one of the those that are referred to, and we read his works. Oedipus is one of the familiar ones. You'll recognize that name, some of you. But he made a statement that I'd like to just share with you today. I want to speak on a subject, and I think this really touches the heart of it. He made this statement. He said, "There is no success without hardship. No success. There is no success without hardship." Now, some of us are going to try to think of ways you could be successful without hardship, and maybe you might think of those who inherit large sums of money or whatever, but you know, you can have a lot of money, that doesn't necessarily mean you're successful. When you think of success, it depends on how you define success. But I was thinking about what's going on in our world today, and there are a lot of things that are happening to people. There's a lot of uncertainty. I mentioned just briefly how there are many who are involved in the agricultural professions in our country that are very concerned. They estimate there are hundreds and hundreds of acres that are right now being destroyed because they've had to open the floodgates to allow the Mississippi River to overflow and not endanger some of the larger cities that lie to the south. But it's a mixed blessing. You might save, on the one hand, many lives and a tragedy from happening in the urban areas, but it's going to flood hundreds and hundreds of acres that are going to be lost this year for the farmers. Hardship, it comes in many ways. Sometimes it's beyond our control when we consider disasters like this, the forces of nature. We think of the floods and we think of the tornadoes and the hurricanes and things like this. It can be devastating with the loss of life and property. Multiple millions of dollars hang in the balance right now. Right now. There are people's lives that are being destroyed right now. This very moment. As we're gathered here, we don't have the same threat that many are facing right now in our country. And they're wondering, what's going to happen to me? What's going to happen to my family? How are we going to survive? And for many, there's nothing but darkness and gloom and despair. And it's something beyond their control. They didn't do anything wrong. They didn't bring it upon them. It just is happening now. Now. Hardship sometimes comes that way. It can be devastating. And then sometimes hardship comes at our own doing. That can happen too, you know. It's one thing if it's not your fault and things come upon you and you're caught in the midst of something that's beyond your control. But it's another thing when the hardship you're experiencing is a result of your own doing. You know, bad decisions. Anybody ever make a bad decision? I have. You made a bad decision? Some people think they're right all the time. I'll tell you, just look back in the course of your life and think of some of those times you made a bad decision. Boy, that'll straighten you up right there. Bad decisions. You made a bad decision, and because of that, you're going through a hardship. Foolish actions, though momentary and brief, have ruined many and brought them down to the depths of despair. I listened to the news just this very week, heard some things that came over the air of some things that were done by individuals. I don't know what the motive was, perhaps out of desperation or whatever, made some foolish decisions, and because of it, they violated the law of our land, and now, undoubtedly, they're going to face time in prison. A momentary, foolish decision, and they lost it all. They sacrificed their family, their career, their good name in their community, all of it gone for one momentary foolish decision. Say, oh, that'll never happen to me. Well, I hope it doesn't. But you know what? The Bible is clear on many things. That hardship of both kinds, that kind of hardship that comes upon you that you have nothing to do with, and those hardships that come upon you because of your own doing, those things happen to the righteous. That's right. The righteous go through difficulties. Those that we would like to think, well, they're going to be spared from a lot of things. I have found in life teaches us many lessons. Many lessons. That the righteous also at times suffer from hardship. Now, I want to ask you, what can you do when you find yourself in the midst of hardship and trouble? Is there any relief in sight? Oftentimes, we see pictures portrayed of those that have gone through devastating circumstances. I saw one this past week, and a man was just holding up some little object he had salvaged from the devastating floodwaters that had destroyed his property. And he says, it's all gone. I've got this. And he held it up and said, but everything else is ruined. It's gone. Then we hear that phrase, what are you going to do? Well, I guess we'll just have to start over. So I want to address that simple question this morning for a few moments, starting over. Is it possible? Can you? Is it possible really to start over? When you face the hardship, you face the trial, whether it's something that's beyond your control or something you brought upon yourself. Can you really? Can you make a new start? Can you get over it? I want to take you to the Word of God. There's some good advice from God's Word. You see, God knows us better than we know ourselves. One thing you can be sure of, you can fool some folks for a season. Maybe you can fool them all the time. But you can never fool God. God knows us. He knows you better than you know yourself. He knows all about you. He knows the way you think and why you think the way you do and why you do what you do. And if you have any ulterior motives, though hidden from some, they're never hidden from God. They're never hidden from God. It's like there's a searchlight from heaven that constantly shines in our lives and it exposes everything to God. He always sees us the way we really are. We really are. And he said this, the psalmist wrote these words under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in that 103rd Psalm. Those 13th and 14th verses says, just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he himself knows our frame. He knows us. It says he knows our frame. He knows who we are. He knows all about us. He is mindful that we are but dust. He knows what we're really like, and he is mindful. In other words, he takes into consideration that we are of the earth, and these bodies are going to return to the earth one day, should Jesus tarry. He knows our frailties. He knows our weaknesses. He knows that we are but dust. It's nice to have a father of compassion like that, isn't it? He has compassion on those who fear him. I want to just share simply a few things. First of all, in times of trouble, what do you do? What do you do when you're facing hardship or trouble and things come your way? What's the first thing you do? Well, the first thing some people do is they call home. They call mom. They call dad. Some, when they face trouble, they call the authorities. They call the police, you see. What do you do? First thing you ought to do as a child of God is you need to call upon the Lord. You need to seek God's help. It's amazing how many individuals who have found themselves in a life that is far different from what God wants, and they're involved in things they shouldn't be involved with, and they feel the weight of that, and then finally they're caught. It's amazing how many turn to God in times like that. They remember, perhaps, a moment in childhood when they bowed at the knee of their mother who used to pray with them before they went to bed. Or maybe they remember a Sunday school teacher. Something is there, it lingers in their memory, though they've lived a life far from God. When it comes right down to it, and they're desperate, they're desperate. It's amazing how many will say, but God help me. There's nobody that can help me but you, Lord. Oh, God help me. You know, that's the right thing to do. That's the right response, to turn to God in times of need like that. Psalm 37:39 says this, even though the righteous will suffer times of hardship and trial, Psalm 37:39 says, but the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in time of trouble. Goes on to say in Psalm 55:16, as for me, I shall call upon God, and the Lord will save me. Lord will save me. That's a good thing. How often have we counseled those who were in times of trouble? And what do you tell them to do? I'll tell you, one of the things I found out is that we don't always have the answers. In fact, one of the best things we can do is not try to offer an answer, because it may or may not be right. And the best thing is, well, have you turned to God? Have you asked God for help? That's one of the best things you can do to help somebody who's in trouble. So in times of trouble, call upon the Lord. And we have many examples of that in Scripture. The second thing we find here is that when you call upon the Lord, there is a promise Now, there is divine protection. Divine protection. Now, we do know this, that if you're doing what is right and you find yourself in a calamity or a difficult situation that's not of your doing, but you're living your life right and then something comes upon you, then there are several promises of the Lord you have to sustain you in times of need, in times of hardship. I think of that incident back in the day when Israel was fleeing Egypt. And you remember how they looked back and they saw the army there. They saw this great sea before them and they thought they were trapped. And they wondered, what's going to happen? The armies are going to come upon us and we're done for. They're going to kill all of us, our children. There's no hope. It seemed to be a desperate situation. And then I think of what Moses said in Exodus, the 14th chapter, verse 13. He said, but Moses says to the people, do not fear. That's an interesting thing to say when you see the masses of armed men coming, the chariots of Pharaoh and all of them just about to set upon you. And yet Moses stands before them and says, don't worry about it. Don't fear. Stand by and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will never see them again forever. Now, how did he know that? How did he know that? God put it in his heart. He spoke prophetically. Don't worry about them because God's going to take care of them and they will never hassle you again. You'll never be fearful again. And then verse 14, that phrase, the Lord will fight for you while you keep silent. What a verse. Stand by and see what God is going to do. The Lord will fight for you. You know, oftentimes in talking with folks that are going through difficulties and sometimes they're in situations where they're being maligned by other people and people just being mean to them and whatever. Sometimes what I'll tell them is say, you know, just sit back. Don't say a word. Don't retaliate. Look to the Lord and let God fight your battle for you. Now you say, well, that seems awful. You see, usually the tendency in all of us, well, a lot of us, unless you like to be used as a doormat, when somebody says something or does something to you, you want to retaliate. You want to, well, how dare you do? How dare you say that? And the guard goes up and you're ready to fight back. You know, oftentimes God would just have you to sit back, relax, and see the salvation of the Lord. See what God's going to do. Because there are those who might mean it for evil against you, but listen, maybe they can fight against flesh and blood, but they cannot overcome. And they cannot be victorious against the Spirit of the living God. The Spirit of the living God is able to take care of those situations oftentimes far better than you or I will ever be able to. Sometimes God does give us wisdom. Sometimes he will say to you, well, this is what you ought to do. Sometimes you will receive direction. And if you receive direction from the Lord, then go ahead and do it. Now, I would be careful if someone else comes along and says, the Lord wants me to tell you this. Because I've found out over the years that it's not always the Lord, I don't think, that said that. I'd be careful. I'd check it. Now, that doesn't mean people can't have a word of knowledge. They can. But if they do, check it out with God. You pray about it and make sure, and if you feel settled in your spirit, you know this is of the Lord. Sometimes God has to have someone else come into our lives because we're so closed off to say, hearing what he's going to say. God gets our attention that way, and sometimes he will use somebody who has that gift, that word of knowledge. And God will send somebody to kind of to redirect us because we're not listening to what God is saying because of the defenses we have up. And sometimes God will send somebody and say, you know, I believe God would have you do this or whatever. And oftentimes it is from the Lord. So you have to be careful there. But weigh it, you know, whatever it is, before the Lord and say, God, is this from you? And let God impress that upon your heart. And if you feel conviction about it, then you know that it's from God. So in times of trouble, you call upon the Lord. And in times of hardship and trouble, There is that promise of protection. From the Psalms again, in Psalm 121:5, it says, the Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul. The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forever. I like that word, and forever. So there are some promises there. It talks about keeping you from evil. And hopefully, when the hardship and the trials come, you don't resort to things that that lead you to be in a place where you shouldn't be. You want to be in the right place with God. You don't want to be led into something where you retaliate, and then all of a sudden you're just as wrong as the one who's done you wrong. That can happen too, you know. How often have we seen that happen? Somebody who's totally innocent, and yet they're beset on by someone else, but then their reaction is such that it implicates them. And they wind up being on the wrong side of where they ought to be. So we have these promises of the Lord that if we will seek Him and go to Him, when that hardship or that trial or that problem comes, that He is there, we have this promise that He is a protector of us also, that we have one who will fend for us. I've shared this story from time to time. I always remember when I was a child, I have two older sisters. And my oldest sister was very kind of outgoing, and she was popular in high school. I was just a little guy. But there would be times in the neighborhood. You know how neighborhoods are growing up. If you have to take yourself, you have to take yourself back. You know, go back into the 50s, 60s, more of the 50s, you know, back there. Some of you are saying the 50s. I wasn't even thought of back then. Well, you're the younger ones. But some of you know what I'm talking about. Back then, and when it seemed like kids were outside a lot more. We always were outside. We couldn't wait to get home from school, change our clothes, and go out and play. And we'd go out, and we would yell. The way we would do, we didn't ring doorbells. We'd just go outside the door and say, hey, Johnny, you know. And that's the way we communicated. And then they'd come to the window or whatever, or the mother would say, he'll be out in a minute, you know, and they come out. That's what we always did. We never rang doorbell. That's just the way it was. I don't know if you did that, but that's the way we did it in our neighborhood. And we just call out, and you'd hear, it's funny, because in the neighborhood, you'd know where somebody was because they were calling for somebody across the neighborhood, you know. That's what we did. And we all get together. And we played all kinds of fun games, you know, and we had neat places. We'd go out in the woods. We'd find places where there were nice rock formation stuff, and we'd not, you know, sometimes hide and seek, but we'd play war and those kind of things. Things that boys do, you know, those kinds of things. We just had a great time, and it was seemed to be kind of a different world back then. But from time to time, we had our neighborhood bully, too. And we had a couple of those in our neighborhood, and there was one in particular, and I don't know what it is. There are some kids, they just think that they were born and put on this earth just to plague other kids and to make them suffer. You know that attitude. And we had a kid like that. And this kid was in the neighborhood, and I usually got along with pretty much everybody, but for whatever reason, this guy got it in his mind that I was going to be his target. And I mean, he would frighten you to death, and I just happened to be a fairly good runner when I was young. Usually got out of it okay, but I didn't want to be pummeled, and I didn't want to be hit or kicked or any of that stuff. But I had a big sister, and my sister, Susie, I'd say to her, I came home, and I was kind of intimidated. What happened? Well, I told her what happened. He said, oh, yeah? And she took off. And I'll tell you, when she was going out after somebody, you want to get out of the way. She didn't fear anybody, guys or gals. And she was in a sense, my protector. So that she would go out, and if the battle I couldn't handle, because this kid was older, he was mean, I'll tell you what, he feared my sister. My sister would get him down and let him know who the boss was, and if he ever dared look at me again, he'd be history. She just had that way. And I don't forget that. And as a kid, I didn't have a big brother, but I had a big sister. I'll tell you, she was just as good. And she was, like I said, she was popular in high school. She was a beautiful girl, youth, and yet she had that one thing. She didn't tolerate anybody picking on her little brother. She was my protector. You know, you have a protector. God is your protector. And there are times when the enemy wants to come. And he wants to plague you. He wants to be the bully. He wants to push you around. And he wants to intimidate you and cause your heart to fill up with fear. You need to call your Heavenly Father, your protector, and let Him know what's going on. He knows what's going on, but He wants to hear from you. And when you call upon Him, guess what? He's right there. He's right there. And it says here, the Lord will guard your going out, your coming in from this time forth and forever. The last thing I would say this morning, not only do we seek God immediately, and not only do we realize He is a shield of protection for us, but you need to also learn how to trust Him. You say, well, that's pretty simplistic, isn't it? Well, yeah, but how often do we lay aside some of these promises and we know what they are, but we don't really trust the Word of God? Trust means that you put your full confidence into something. Either God said it or He didn't say it. You have to come to the conclusion, if you don't trust the Word, then God must have said a lot of things that you don't believe He meant or He's not going to stand by. You have to trust what the Word of God says. To find the relief and live without fear, you must trust Him. Otherwise, you're going to live in fear all the time. You have to simply trust Him. And there are people that God has put in my lives that I totally, completely trust. I trust them implicitly. And I'm sure there are people that you've come across and you trust them also. They would never let you down. They would always be there. They would always be faithful. And you can trust God that way. And you need to act on that. And you need to, when you read the Word of God, and when I read some of these great stories as I'm reading through the Bible this year, you know, we challenge you to read through the Bible every year as I'm reading these stories. And I've read them time and time again, but it never ceases to amaze me how these people, so many of them, had nothing but trust. They didn't have all the tools we have. They didn't have all the concordances, you know, and all the versions of the Scripture and all that. All they had was the Word of God that came to the prophet of the Lord. And they then had to trust that Word, that it was true. We need a lot more than that today, it seems. You know, we need all kinds of things. We need our TV preachers and our radio preachers, and we need all kinds of help books, and we need all kinds. And a lot of that stuff, nothing wrong with it. We need Christian authors and all this to encourage us. We need Christian films and movies and all that, you know. But think of it. God's people down through the years, many of them, they had nothing but the Word of the Lord. And their lives, whether they were going to be successful, whether or not they were going to make it, it came down to this. Did they trust the Word of God? You know, ultimately, that's what's going to be said of you and me. Did we trust God and His Word? Put your trust in God to find relief and live without fear. You have to trust Him. Jeremiah 17:7 says, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is the Lord." Psalm 91:2 says, "I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust." Psalm 118:8, "It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man." And the 9th verse, "It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes." To trust in those that are over us, those in high office. Some people are putting their confidence in what the law says, what others may say. Dignitary, listen, put your trust in the Lord. I don't know what's been going on in your lives. But it just may be that there's somebody here this morning and you're wondering, I really feel like starting over. And I'm here to tell you today, you can start over. You can start over. The devil says there's no hope. You are what you are. There'll never be any hope. I want to tell you what God says. God says there's always hope for you. You can start over. But the decision is yours. God will not force you. But I want to speak hope into your life today. Hear me today. The devil's been on your case. He's telling you you're no good, you can't change. Maybe some of you are struggling with a habit. Maybe some of you are struggling with relationships. I want to tell you something. The devil, he will use that against you. He'll try to remind you, you're no good, you're not worthy. I want to tell you today, hear me today, if you hear nothing else, you can start over. You can start over. And it begins by putting your confidence in God. And looking to Him. And then embracing Him as your protector. And putting your full trust in what He says. When God spoke, He spoke as if He was speaking right to you this morning. Hear what He says. He wants to be your provider and your protector. It's better to take refuge in the Lord. It's better to take refuge in the Lord. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. The Lord will guard your going out, your coming in. The Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul. Hear the word of the Lord. And if today is a day when you need to start over, then my word to you is start over. Would you bow your head in prayer right now? I believe somebody needs to hear what God is saying. God doesn't come and bring conviction to harm you. He doesn't bring conviction to your soul to try to tell you how bad you are. He loves you. He points out flaws in our character. Flaws in our personality, flaws in our behavior, because He loves us. He wants His best for us. And if today you felt a little bit of the prick of the pain of your conscience, it's not for your ill. It's not to harm you in some way. It's so that God can get your attention and just remind you through His word that He really loves you very much. And that even though others may have told you, and you might think that there's no hope, He wants you to know that there is hope. And He wants you to know that your future is far brighter than your present circumstances. And that if you will put your confidence and trust in Him, He will open up an array of blessing for you. You don't even see it now, but it's there if you'll simply trust Him. I want to know, as our heads are bowed in prayer, if that's you today, you're saying, God, I just need to start over in some things. Help me. Just slip your hand up and put it down. I'll know what you mean. Amen. Yes, yes. Doesn't mean you're a bad person. It just means you're hearing what God is saying. Anyone else here this morning, just quickly before I close, I want to include you. It's simply a tangible way of saying, God, I hear what you're saying. I just lift my hand to you. Anyone else before I close and join these? Amen. I'm going to pray. And I'm going to pray and ask God to give you the strength and the faith to believe as you've never believed before in the Word of God. I'm not going to say these aren't difficult times. They are for many people. But you can make it. And if it means that you need to start over, then start over. You can make it. And God's future is far better than any hardship, any difficulties you're facing today. Be reminded of that as I pray. Father, in Jesus' name, there are those that right now hear the voice of God. God is speaking to them. You're speaking to them, Lord. You're trying to let them know that you stand ready to help them. And I pray that there will be many here and that hear the voice of God and say, Lord, help me. Help me today. Your word is so rich. The promises of God are so numerous. Why would I not want to put my confidence in you? Why, it's foolish not to hear your word and to observe it in my life. And I pray that they will say in their hearts, even now at this moment, Lord, I choose to serve you as never before. I know you, Lord, but God, I've not put my full confidence in what your word says. But I'm going to do that starting today. Maybe it means starting over. And for some here, oh God, because they've had such difficulty, they've faced, and their faith has been challenged, but they feel the strength of God here this morning, and they say, I choose to believe the word of the Lord. I don't want to heed the word of those that would destroy my life. I choose to believe the word of the Lord. And your word, oh God, promises help and life and strength and protection in time of need. I pray for everyone right now, O God, that needs to be reassured in their faith. Those, O Lord, who are making a commitment to serve you regardless of the circumstances they face. Now, in the name of Jesus, may there come upon them a holy boldness that they will stand firm on the things that they know are eternal, the things that they know are true. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Aren't you thankful this morning? You don't have, salvation. Well, I think so, you know, I guess. Or not, I guess salvation. You have salvation. You see, there are some people that you ask them about their religious beliefs and say, well, I think this, well, I guess this, or, well, I kind of feel this way. You don't have I feel. You have a no-so. I know. I know what the book says. I know the author of the book. He does not lie. And I choose to put my trust in that which I know is true and is eternal. God does not lie, and his word endures forever. That's where I put my... You have a no-so salvation this morning. I know so. Don't forget it. Don't let the devil intimidate you, okay? Stand with me, if you will, please. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. There are a lot of good things in store for you. Let's face the future with optimism in our hearts and belief that God's going to do some great things. Praise the Lord. Remember the announcements of this day, the upcoming events, and please remember the meeting that's going to follow immediately after our time here together this morning. And tonight, you know, you might find you'd have a friend that would be interested in seeing, especially if you're a participant, seeing you do something. Maybe they didn't know you had that talent. You might have some friends out there and say, hey, you know what? I'll go see that. Maybe no one has ever heard you sing. Maybe no one's ever heard you play an instrument. Maybe no one's ever heard you try to be funny or whatever. You might find that you'll have a willing person that'll come. Why not invite them to be out tonight? We'll have a great time. Praise the Lord. Father, we do thank you for your presence here. And Lord, you've reminded us so often that you really care about us. Again, your word speaks that very clearly to us. I pray that as we leave this place today, that we will go with purpose in mind, that we will live our lives the way we ought to. And Lord, we'll let our light shine. Our light will only shine to the extent that we are willing to live for you. The closer we get to you, the brighter that light becomes. And that's the light that attracts others that need to know that there is a Savior. And so I pray, God, help us in our daily endeavors. There are challenges undoubtedly that we'll face this week, but we go into this next week knowing that your grace is sufficient. and that your bountiful supply is sufficient, and that your strength is sufficient, that we can have victory in our hearts every day. And so I pray for that, and that for your people, Lord. Now may we be dismissed by your Holy Spirit in the love of Christ under the authority of God, our Heavenly Father. I pray these things in your precious name. Amen. God bless you and have a great Lord's Day.
On my own, now that I am seen.